Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for this morning. Thank you. Thank you for privileged eyes that see as they should. Thank you for ears that hear. Thank you for receptive hearts. Thank you for light your word, the light so floods every mind and every heart. We give you praise for an atmosphere of faith and power. Thank you for togetherness and comprehension and participation. Thank you because your power is present to heal every sickness, disease, and infirmity. We give you praise and all of the glory. Thank you because today in this service we are helped, we are touched, and we are transformed by your word and by the power of your spirit. Thank you. Thank you for changed lives. Thank you for renewed minds. Thank you, O God, because we live better than we came and we are ready for the year ahead. Glory to your name. In Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you can have your seat. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 Okay. So, I just want to exhort you. Many things to say in one. Amen. And it's all to stir up our pure minds and prepare our hearts for the new year. Praise God. Now, in Bible, there are opportunities for a fresh start. There are opportunities for fresh starts. And it is only sensible when a man takes an opportunity for a fresh start that God is giving him or her. When you say man, well, it's still okay. Glory to God. It's important. So this morning we still have some time, or we still have some time to pray. Amen. And we'll yet trust the Lord for blessings. Amen.
Amen.
By utterances and impartations of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There are things in 2024, I don't want to scare you or sound spooky, that will happen. I'm not necessarily trying to say bad stuff, okay? That you need impartation for. Amen? Remember impartation from Romans 1 and 11. Paul says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to the end that you may be established. And that word impart means to make available. So when it says impart to you, it says make available to you. Impart. It's a word that means to share. So Paul was saying, I long to see you so that I may share with you spiritual gifts. Okay? Not spiritual gifts as in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. Okay? But spiritual things that can be given. Glory to God. That's why they're called spiritual gifts there. Things that can be given, imparted, shared, made available. Glory to God. So there are impartations that we can have. Paul says that you may be established. Okay? Romans 1:11. There are impartations that you can have that get you established.
established in life, established in the ministry of Jesus, where you are strengthened, helped, as a result of what is communicated to you. Paul reminds Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. In 2 Timothy 1 and 6, it says, stir up the gift of God that is in you, which was given you by the putting on of my hands. Okay? So when hands are laid, when impartations of the Spirit occur, things are given. Supernatural things are given. Amen? And the reasonable thing to do is to receive them. Amen? Praise God. And they're not just given for giving sake. No. They're given so that you get strengthened. You get established. So that you become better in this area, that area. It's like you are imparted, then you have a footing. Praise God. So, get ready. By prophecy, by laying of hands, if that's the direction we have to go, or by just receiving from the atmosphere that we have here. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Where God is working to bless and reach out to us by Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2024, I'll not be found wanting. I'll be full of strength, right? Ready for the year. That's how it will be. I mean, let's just move over. No. No. God is not against having expectations. As a matter of fact, that's his desire. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen? So that paints a picture to us of thoughts that exist now that are to shape the future. That are to shape a time ahead. Right? So, for God, it is thoughts of peace, not of evil. So, if you stay on the side of God, you are not to look forward to evil or to be focused on evil that shall be. Yes, no doubt, Jesus said in John 16 and 33, in this world you have tribulations. No one is saying that because you're in Christ, evil will cease to exist. Amen? Jesus says, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So our job, our duty is to dwell in the victory that Christ has obtained. He says he has overcome the world. So there is already victory in Christ that we ought to focus on. But in Jeremiah 29 and 11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. So ahead of you is a life of peace, not of evil. Because that is what God thinks towards you. It's to give you an expected end. I mean, you can replace that and say to give you a future. So those thoughts can be seen as God's desires and expectation for you. And the more you side with Him, the more those thoughts shape your life and your future. Does that make sense? Are you following? So there's nothing wrong in taking opportunities for a fresh start, taking opportunities to be better. And our calendar year gives us that opportunity. True, the same way the sun rose and set yesterday, it's the same way it will today. And it's the same way it will tomorrow. Amen? But you know, even if the same things happen every day, we can decide to make every day count. Does that make sense? The same way we can decide to make 2024 count. Glory to God. In Bible, we see instances where God will mark dates for the children of men, for Israel. On the first month of so-so-so day, the fourth month, the seventh month, Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement, it says, it will be kept from the 10th day, and then upon the 14th day, is it Leviticus 16 or, yeah, I think so. Amen, amen. So, there's nothing wrong in deciding to take 2024 as a year where so and so will happen. Okay? And we can decide to look at it as we are the ones taking 2024 as so and so. I mean, from Bible, God can. Amen? God can take certain dates, say between this and that. This is what you will do. Glory to God. So God can lead us. God can direct us. God can help us to see how to effectively live our lives in 2024. Amen, amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So like we said, there's nothing wrong in taking opportunities for fresh starts. We can take a cue from salvation. Being born again. In John chapter 3. And from verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6 says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee. Verse 7, Ye must be born again. Now, if you look at the narrative Jesus used, being born again simply means to be born from above. Okay, to be born from above. But, you know, Nicodemus felt that, why would a man be born a second time when he's already old? Will he enter into his mother's womb and be born? But Jesus meant being born of the Spirit. And that's why verse 5 and verse 6 went that way. It says, if a man be born of water, that is, be born of the Spirit. And then in verse 6 it says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So it means that being born again grants a man fresh access into the kingdom of God. That is a fresh start, a new start for him. Amen, amen. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Romans 5 and verse 1, it says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. In hope of the glory of God. Amen. So, it says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Amen, amen. In Colossians chapter 1, from verse 12 to 13. In Colossians 1, 12 to 13. You there, say amen? It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14 then says, You know we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, he says, he had qualified us, that's what he means to, that's what he means by made us meet. He had qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hebrews chapter 2. So, there's a movement from darkness to light. a beginning in the light. We can see salvation that way. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 2 says, For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing their witness, but with signs, wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Then he continues the conversation, and there's another verse I want you to see before that. It says, verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, okay, or into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. Now, from verse 14, he says, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In John chapter 5, John 5, John chapter 5 and verse 24. Let's just read that alone. Okay, you can write 19 to 24 in your notes, but let's just read 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So there's a life that begins at salvation. There's a life that begins when the gospel is believed. Mark 16. Mark 16. This is going to all the world, verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believes shall be saved. Don't forget in John 3 and 5, he says, enter into the kingdom of God. So there's a new entry. Romans 5:1, there is access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. So we could go on and on to see that salvation is a fresh entry, a fresh start for the sinner into God's grace, God's mercy. Ezekiel 36 from verse 23 to 28. I'll take you out from among the heathen and bring you into your own land. I'll cleanse you. I'll sprinkle clean water on you. You'll be clean. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. You know, I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes and my, you know, it goes on and on. In Hebrews 11 and verse 10, Hebrews 11 and 10, he says concerning Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God. A city whose builder and maker is God. In Hebrews 12 and verse 22, he tells us about that city. He says, he had come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Amen? Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. In Romans chapter 6, Romans 6 and verse 4, Romans 6 and 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So salvation is newness of life, and there is an admonition to conduct ourselves in that newness of life. Having everlasting life is newness of life. John 3:16. 1 John 3:16, 1 John 4, from verse 8 to 10. Quickly check that and be sure. That's 1 John 4, where are you? To 10 is fine, but actually 9 to 10 is my point there. Amen, amen. Okay, so newness of life. Romans 7 and verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Of course, by the time you look that through, that's pointing your attention, the law of sin and death, and the law of the spirit of life. And he also says that within the context of man's relationship, or how man relates with the law of Moses. Okay? So that in the law of Moses, you find the law of God, okay? The law of the spirit of life, and in the law of Moses, in relation to man's fellowship with the law, you find the law of sin and death, and so on and so forth. So, it means that putting faith in God's word, in the scriptures, it yields newness of spirit. Don't forget in chapter 8, from verse 4 to 5, it says that natural of the Lord may be fruit and also walk not out of the flesh, but out of the spirit. For they that are out of the flesh, the mind, the things of the flesh, but they that are out of the spirit, the things of the spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, from salvation, we can understand an entrance of fresh opportunity that a man has, a sinner, into God's plan, into God's kingdom, into God's family, into God's house. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. So, firstly, that shows us an opportunity that a man can have to start afresh with God. A fresh start. Now, spiritual development helps a man to renew his mind so that he can firstly acknowledge the fresh start, and secondly, conduct his life in that fresh start, or in that new life, like we saw in Romans 6 and 4. It says to walk in the newness of life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And then verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So a man comes into the kingdom of God. God's plan for him is for him to tread in that kingdom. Matthew 16, verse 18. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. 19 says, I will give you keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, God's plan is not an entry into a kingdom alone, but a life in the kingdom. To conduct your life in this new kingdom. To recognize that you have a new life. To conduct yourself in newness of life. Glory to God. So, a man can look at it this way. I was just born. Nobody asked for my permission to be born. I've been in this earth and I've sinned. I've done this. I've done that. But God provides every man an opportunity to start afresh with him. Does that make sense? To be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things that have become new are of God. Verse 18. Glory to God. So for the sinner, salvation, an opportunity for a fresh start. For the man who is born again, spiritual development. An opportunity to live life anew. Glory to God. To conduct himself anew in God's plan that has been from the beginning. Praise God. Glory to God. You know that when a man grows up spiritually, or his mind is renewed in a certain area, and then he begins to bring forth the fruits of that knowledge in that area in his life, some now see it as, this guy is now truly born again. But the truth is that he's been born again, right? He put faith in Jesus. Maybe nobody discipled him, or he failed to commit himself to discipleship. And then when that began to happen, it now looked like this is when he got born again. Are you there? But he's been born again. He just renewed his mind, and then we can see the fruits thereof. Just pointing our attention to the fact that men have opportunities for fresh starts with God. Identity, either by identity or by lifestyle, or you say by walk, conduct, behavior. And I renew my mind. I get better in this area. I receive life in this area. Amen, amen. Another area we can see is this. Second Timothy chapter 1. Are you in church? 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16. An opportunity to start, to have a fresh start, so to say. Look at verse 16, are you there? The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, or Phoros. For he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chains. Thank you. But when he was in Rome, verse 17, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So Paul started from verse 16 to say that the house of Onesiphorus, right, often refreshed him. The word refreshed is the word anasucho or suko. From two words, ana and suke. Anasuko is A-N-A-P-S-U-N. Sorry, P-S-U-C-H-O, right? Anasucho, suko. A word that means to cool off or to relieve. R-E-L-I-E-V-E. or as it is translated, to refresh. Now, suke means life. Life. Used for life. Anna is a word that could simply mean again. Praise God. Again. So when you have Anna whatever, it means it's saying that thing again. Praise God. That thing again. That thing again. So, if suke means life, breath, so it could refer to life again. So, minister life again. To give life again, as it were. So Paul says that the house of Onesiphorus often refreshed him, and they were not ashamed of his chain. Now from 17, we see how the house of Onesiphorus often refreshed Paul. He sought me out very diligently, Onesiphorus, and found me. Then he says, the Lord grant him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many times he ministered unto me. So, by Onesiphorus ministering unto Paul, Paul was refreshed. Don't forget, Anasuko, right? So, Paul felt refreshed or relieved. Okay? So, it was as though when Onesiphorus diligently sought after Paul, found him, ministered to him, Paul was revived. Refreshed. Paul felt as though life was ministered to him again. Are you following this? He had done ministry. He had been in chains. Are you there? But someone's ministry towards him made him feel life again. Life again. Made him feel relieved. Praise God. Amen. So that's like a fresh opportunity. Let's go again. The same way, maybe you wake up one day, you have a lot to do, you were so tired, you were so hectic, and then you had time to sleep. And then when you slept, maybe you were not done with the project. You woke up again, and then you were refreshed. It was as though the sleep ministered life to you again, and then you were there to continue. Are you there? Maybe it was even something that you were trying to figure out and you couldn't. And then you were tired, you went to sleep, and then you wake up, and as you're brushing your teeth, you just, you can go this way, that way, and you feel energy again, feel refreshed, feel revived. Amen? Feel relieved to go at it again. That's what Paul meant. So the ministry of another saint to Paul revived Paul, relieved Paul. Ministered life to Paul again. In Philemon 7,
Just one chapter, so. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Same word, anasuko. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. In verse 20, same Philemon, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Of course, Paul wrote to Philemon to require of him or ask of him something concerning Onesimus and all of that. So, invariably, Paul was saying, by the time you do what I ask, I will be refreshed. Amen, amen. In Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, Romans 15 and verse 32. Can read from verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. May with you be refreshed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. 1 Corinthians 16, 17 to 18. It says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Again, when the saints of God play their part, here they supplied what was lacking. In others. So, it can pass for an example like this. Someone is supposed to do something, not able to do it. When another does it, that brings refreshing. Does that make sense? Glory to God. That brings refreshing. Since they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians 7, and verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed, we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. His spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we speak all things to you in truth, verse 14, right? Even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. So, similar to the ones we've read, when the saints do as they ought to, or behave as they ought to, it brings refreshing to the saints as a body, especially to their leaders. And don't forget what this refreshing means. Relief. Revive. It's like life is ministered to keep going. Amen. It's like a recovery of breath. Refreshes your soul, refreshes your spirit. Amen, amen. Let's look at a few in the Old Testament portion. Exodus 23 and 12. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 12. It says, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaids, thy handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed. Okay? So, you work 6 days, and then the seventh day, which is for rest, is to bring about refreshing. Similar words used. That is, life is ministered again. There is a recovery of breath to walk again. Glory to God. There's a recovery of breath to work again. Exodus 31. Verse 16 to 17. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. See that? He rested and was refreshed. 2 Samuel 16. Second Samuel 16 and verse 13. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Okay? So, they came weary. They arrived weary, but they refreshed themselves there. They had a recovery of breath. They were revived. Amen? They were refreshed. Life was ministered to them again. Now, go to Acts 3 and verse 19. Acts 3 and verse 19. Are you there? Okay, I'll wait for you. Did I say amen? Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing, that's the word anasuxis, A-N-A-P-S-U-X-I-S, a word that means a recovery of breath, a word that means revival. It says times of refreshing. The word times would refer to seasons, opportunities. Okay, so times, seasons, and opportunities of refreshings, of recovery of breaths, right? Of revivals shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, from Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11, which Peter and the 11 preached from after this, okay, and preached from Joel 2, 28 to 32, and then after this, after that is 19, 20, 21, well, particularly in verse, where is that again? Sorry, I preached it in chapter 2. Sorry for that, mixing up chapter 2 and 3 together. He had preached in chapter 2. From verse 22, he had preached from Psalm 16, 8 to 11. And you remember verse 11 that says, in your presence, fullness of joy, at the right hand, pleasures forevermore. Okay? And that presence refers to the, how do we say this now? Now, let me quickly put it this way. Jesus was saying Psalm 16, 8 to 11 in hell, in hope of resurrection. Are you there? David, inspired by the Spirit of God, spoke that ahead of time. Now, when Jesus says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, he was referring to the resurrection, right? At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. So, the presence of God, according to that text, is the resurrection of Jesus. Are you there? The resurrection of Jesus. So, in chapter 3, sorry for that mix up earlier, in chapter 3 now, Peter and John, not Peter and the 11, right? In the temple, preaching. So the man had been healed, and then he was preaching. So he then says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So the presence of the Lord here will be the resurrection. Alright? So in the resurrection, we have times, seasons, and opportunities of refreshing. Does that make sense? That is, it's not as though you are just getting born again by that event or what happened. But we can call it life was ministered to you again. Praise God. Glory to God. Are you there? You were refreshed. I don't know if you have felt like that because I have. You were in a meeting, hands were laid on you, and you just felt refreshed. It felt like something was taken off you. You just felt light and free all of a sudden. Amen? It's not that, you know, your salvation just became true at that point. Amen? It was that life was ministered to you. There was a refreshing. There was a revival. There was a recovery of breath. There was an opportunity of rest. Amen? You just got refreshed. At times, it may not be that feeling. It may just be the resolve to do more. You just resolve that, I'll preach more. I'll pray more. That's a refreshing. Praise God. So in the resurrection, there are seasons and opportunities of refreshings that we can have. Don't forget the word refreshing. Recovery of breath. Revival. Amen? As though life is ministered to you again. Refreshed. Rejuvenated. Re-energized. Glory to God. So, we're wrapping up 1 year. You can decide to be re-energized, refreshed. Amen? For 2024. You can decide to be revived for 2024. You can decide to receive life. Okay? Not to be born again. Amen? But to find that strength and, you know, vigor and might to do spiritual things, to pursue God's plan and purpose again. And you know what? That's what happens in meetings. Praise God. I remember it felt like that during believers' meeting or after it ended. Yeah, it was a season and an opportunity for a refreshing. And you know what? We can take advantage of church meetings. In other words, every time I come to church, not just the special meetings, I show up in church, that's an opportunity for me to be refreshed, to be revived. Praise God. To be refreshed, to be revived, to be re-energized, to be strengthened, to have renewed strength and focus. Can take advantage of every church meeting. Every church meeting to be that way. Glory to God. See, God has wired it such that you cannot by yourself live the Christian life all alone. You need refreshings. Amen? Say, I need refreshings. Say, I need revivals. I know that when you hear revival, it sounds like nothing's working again, right? You now revive.
Okay? Like when people are not praying, nobody's reading Bible again. Yes, that's a kind of revival. But we can have revivals every time we show up. Amen? Amen? You know that if I show up in church and I feel a bit down, and I just look to your side and I see you praying with fire, that will minister life to me again. Amen? I didn't feel like praying. And it's normal. It's human. Okay? And it's okay to be human. But I can have an opportunity through him to be refreshed. Glory to God. I'm sure you've had such experiences before. You showed up, you didn't even feel like, well, let's just be in the church. Let's just shah. You know. But before you know it, maybe somebody held your hand. Maybe the atmosphere, right? Or, you know, maybe the Spirit of God just helped you look in that direction. Or naturally, you just looked at someone, just said, wow. And then you got yourself up again. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, opportunities for a fresh start is God's plan. It's not anti-God. It's not anti-Christianity. Yes, we won't leave the things that we have practiced, that we have known in 2023, leave them behind and move to other things. No. But we can be refreshed. Hallelujah. Revived. Re-energized. Rejuvenated. Revived for 2024. Glory to God. Glory to God. Also, maybe you can take that as a number three. You know, number one, salvation. Under that, spiritual growth. Number two is refreshings, opportunities, seasons of refreshings. The resurrection revives from death to life. In the resurrection, opportunities of refreshings, of revivals. Not from death to life now, but to infuse strength into you. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, so far, if you've had an idea that if it's truly salvation, every day you wake up with fire. You know, you just feel like, yeah, for the Lord, all the time. This should help you. Okay? Not to relax into lukewarmness, amen, or into backsliding, but to just realize that I'm human and God knows that. And he has made a provision in the resurrection for refreshings. Praise God. Refreshings. Refreshings. So we can see the same pattern. Being born again, you receive knowledge and it liberates you. It brings you into life. Spiritual growth, you continually receive knowledge and you experience life as you grow. With this, opportunities, right, of being revived. Salvation will be a refreshing from death to life, but in salvation or resurrection will be a refreshing, a revival from death to life, and then in the resurrection will be opportunities for revivals, refreshings, okay, for life to be ministered again and again. So the third part will be the receiving of the Spirit / being filled with the Holy Ghost. So being filled with the Holy Ghost is an opportunity or opportunities to be refreshed, to be refired,
to be fired up again. At salvation, the Spirit of God is received. That's the gift of God to every man in Christ. In Ezekiel 36, I'll put my spirit within you. In John 14, 16 to 17, I'll pray the Father that he may give you another comforter that may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world seeth not, neither knoweth, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of God, God's gift to those who have believed in Jesus Christ. But there's such a thing as being filled with the Holy Ghost. So when you receive the Spirit, you are brought into the family of God by the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond of fear, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. Okay? But we have opportunities, instructions to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5 and 18, be not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And scholars have told us that that Greek rendering can actually be read this way. Be being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled. So, you have, as a man with the Holy Ghost, several opportunities to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. I remember the word filled. I think that should be plero, if I'm correct. P-L-E-R-O-O. A word that speaks of influence. Plero. I hope that's it. Okay? A word that speaks of influence. So when it says be filled with the Spirit, it says be controlled, be influenced by the Spirit. Okay? Get full to the point where there's an influence of the Spirit in your life. Glory to God. So at that point is the question, don't I have the Holy Ghost? Yes, you do. But you have the Holy Ghost, and yet you can be full of the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? That's like an opportunity that you have, find yourself or create for yourself for the influence of the Spirit in your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you know, that terminology, being filled with the Spirit, leaves the man in Christ with that choice to be filled. Okay? In other words, participate in spiritual things in such a way that you get controlled or influenced by the Spirit of God. It puts the believer in that position of initiation. Not that God, it's your spirit, oh, fill me if you want. No. You initiate it, you do something. It says, be filled with the Spirit. You do something in the Spirit and you get yourself to the point of control and influence. Praise God. Glory to God. So, this puts our minds, from what we have said so far, to see, or in a position to see and agree, that there can be opportunities for fresh starts. opportunities to do something again. Opportunities to have an experience anew. In God. So, we're going to look at 2024 that way. As an opportunity God is giving us for a fresh start in our walk with Him, in our ministry. Glory to God. A fresh start in our experiences. A revival. Are you there? So, you will not show up weary in December 31st and yet be so. January 1 and 2 and then the end of January and then, well, let's just go and just... They said the year is bright. We hope for it to be. No. You start the year, you see it as an opportunity to be refreshed, to be revived, to be fired up again. You see it as an opportunity to initiate things to get you to the point where you are full of the Holy Ghost and there's much control by the Spirit of God in your life. Are you there? So, as we close, I have many things to say unto you, and you are going to bear them now. Praise God. When Jesus said that, He said it and didn't say it to them because they couldn't bear it. You have to bear this. Glory to God. Write it in your note like this. My commitments. My commitments. Glory to God. Number one, prayer. Is an opportunity that you have to recommit yourself to prayer. 2024 is an opportunity you have to do more with prayer. It's an opportunity you have to reckon yourself as one who has the ministry of prayer. Whereby the times and opportunities you have to pray become ministry. You know what ministry is? The privilege you have to serve others, right? That your prayer serves others. I mean, in this church, you know better than to think that prayer is gimme, gimme, gimme. I take all you give me. All the time. Give me, give me, give me this, give me that. For my pocket, for my family, for my this, for my that, for my. Amen? But you see prayer as a ministry. Where you take up your disciples in prayer. You pray for your local church. Not only the times that you show up in church and you are told, this is the focus. Let's pray for our assembly. You know, if you're not careful, apart from those opportunities in local church meetings, you may not pray for your church throughout 1 year. That you personally just, let me pray for my assembly. It may not happen. So 2024 is an opportunity that you have. To do well in your ministry of prayer, or better still, to recognize that you have a ministry of prayer and do well in it, and also to seek adventures in prayer. Adventures in prayer. There are adventures in prayer that we can have. You can see 2024 as that year where you make adventures, do more in the place of prayer. That you commit more to prayers. Short prayers, long prayers, lengthy prayers. Amen. Vigils and such likes. That's number one. Number two, my commitments, right? Bible reading, learning, and teaching. Bible reading, learning, and teaching. So see 2024 as the opportunity you have to commit more to Bible reading. Praise God. To commit yourself more to Bible reading. To commit yourself more to Bible learning. I mean, you have the privilege of looking at 2023 and say, how well did I read my Bible? How well did I learn? How well did I take advantage of the opportunities I had to learn? How well did I take advantage of church meetings, church services, the teachings? Did I just write them down and didn't put them to use? Did I just learn or heard and did not practice? Or like Mark 4 and 20, did I just hear? And did not take delight in what I heard. Glory to God. Did I just hear? Did I just write? Did I just pile up notes that I never went back to? In 2024, commit yourself more to Bible reading, Bible learning, and Bible teaching. Who did you teach? Ah, Pastor, I just started learning. That thing that you just started to learn is enough to bless somebody somewhere. Ah, I don't know much. The little that you know and know well, teach someone again and again. Amen, amen. Commit yourself to Bible teaching. Who are you helping to learn the Word of God more? Who are you teaching to know God and know His Word? Number three, my commitments, right? In 2024, the flow of the Spirit. Commit yourself more to the flow of the Spirit. You've got to know and reckon that there is such a thing as the flow of the Spirit. There is such a thing as flowing with the Holy Ghost, where a man yields himself, yields his inner being and senses, yields himself, commits himself to the flow of the Holy Ghost. Willing and ready to see the move of God's Spirit through him or her in the earth. There is such a thing as the flow or the move of the Holy Ghost. Commit yourself to read more in 2024. Learn it. Practice it. Do it. Will to see it more in your Christian service. For part of your Christian service is to yield to the Holy Ghost, is to yield to the flow of the Spirit. For when a man desires to see the flow of the Spirit more, God wills greatly. For the flow of the Spirit can be described as when the Spirit bears up a man and carries him on in God's plan and purpose to see to it that many men see the power of God, see the glory of God, that many men come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as you yield, the Spirit of God bears you up in His arms. As you yield, the Spirit of God bears you up in His river. As you yield, the Spirit of God bears you up to speak, to say, to see and hear, to perceive, and to do things that only Him can do. For by the Spirit, God's work is achievable and possible. By the Spirit alone can God's work be done. Therefore, commit yourself more to the flow of the Spirit. Commit yourself more to the Holy Ghost. Give room more. Give room more to the Holy Ghost in 2024. Amen? So the flow of the Spirit, commit yourself more to it. The things of and that pertain to the Spirit. We took time to learn that in believers' meeting. Make 2024 the year where you know more. Don't forget 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual brethren, I will not have you ignorant. The desire of God's Spirit for us concerning the things of the Spirit is not to be ignorant. Is to have understanding. Seek to have more understanding. And then seek to practice more. Give yourself to the flow of the Spirit. Say in 2024, I will flow with the Holy Ghost more. I will flow with the Spirit better. I will flow with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, your third commitment, right? Flow with the Holy Ghost. Flow with the Spirit. The flow of the Spirit is your heritage. And it must be part of your desires. It must be what you are thinking about. It must be part of it. Many times we're not thinking about it in the place of prayer, in Bible study, in the place of meditation, in the place of praise and worship to God. We're not thinking about the flow of the Spirit, but we just want to see it. No! Commit yourself more to it, more to understanding it, and more to practicing it, and more to seeing it being a blessing through you. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Number four, my commitments. The local church. In 2024, be an asset to your local church. Be an asset. Be someone that your leaders and fellow saints can be proud of. Proud of your walk with God. Proud of your service to God. Your commitment in every area. Be committed more to your local church in 2024. Amen? Be committed in every area. In your participation, your availability, your resources, your giving. Be committed more. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said He will build His church. In Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, and I put all things on that, He gave it to me, of all things to the church, which is body, the fullness of Him that filled it all. Amen, amen. Jesus is building His church. and a proof that you are following his plan, or that you are in partnership with him, is that you are in a local church that is following God's plan and purpose. So you are not only there, you are committed. Committed. I'm sure you know the Bible hasn't changed. It has not grown bigger or become smaller, right? So you keep hearing the same things again and again. But the question always remains, what are you going to do with the same things that you hear? So your commitment in 2024, the local church. Commit yourself to the training therein. Commit yourself to the structure and the systems. Commit yourself to the saints therein. Be that saint of God that refreshes other saints often. Be that saint of God, like Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy 1 and 16, that refreshes, or 16 to 18, that refreshes the bowels of others. That refreshes your leaders, your pastor. By functioning as you ought to, you revive, minister life to someone. You refresh. You give someone an opportunity to recover their breath and to want to do more. Be that saint. How? By committing yourself in the local church, to your local church. Number five, my commitments, right? Relationships. Be committed more to your relationships. Natural and supernatural in 2024. Be committed. Be committed to your family. Natural and spiritual. The local church is your spiritual family, right? Right? Be committed to your family. Be committed to your relationships. The relationships that God ordained you. You know, it brought people into your life. It brought you into people's lives. He brought them to minister to you. He brought you to minister to them. He brought them for you to minister to them. Such relationships, commit to them more. Commit to your disciples more. Commit more. In commitment, you spend time, resources, energy. You give your emotions to it. That's what commitment is. Commitment that withdraws all of those things is no commitment. Emotions not involved, resources not involved, time not involved, energy not involved. No, that's not commitment. That's not commitment. Commit yourself more to your relationships. And I said natural and supernatural. Okay? And don't let one be at loggerheads with the other. Amen, amen. Don't, in committing yourself to your natural relationships, despise your supernatural relationships. And don't, in committing yourself to your supernatural relationships, despise your natural relationships. Are you there? Commit yourself more to your relationships. God is a God of relationships. He is the Father of relationships. I want to say Father of them all. Their Father. Amen? is the best at relationships. You are his children. Amen? So you should be as your heavenly Father is. Commit yourself more to your relationships. Strengthen them. Strengthen them. Be there for the people that God has brought into your life and that God has brought you into their lives. Amen, amen. Praise God. Pray for me so that I can know I'm closing, because the note is still long. Amen. Glory to God. Number six, commit to evangelism and discipleship. That is where to prove your spiritual growth. That is where to prove your Christian service, evangelism and discipleship, preaching and teaching Jesus, and helping others to grow. Seeing to it that there is fruit in your Christian service. Fruit of men. Men that are now committed to Jesus because of you. Men that are established in the local church. Men who have now become ministers of the gospel. Men who are now committed to Jesus because you were committed to them. At times it may be difficult and not easy. But commitment helps you to follow through. It is God's desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's a great thing when you go out to preach and men get born again. But God doesn't end it there. You ought to be established and become useful in the hands of God. Commit to discipleship more. Don't easily let that person go. Yes, I know. People will be people. Men will be men. At the end of the day, what people want to do is what they will do. I know. I know that God doesn't force men to do his will. I know. But we can play our part. Amen? We can commit to prayer and pray for them. We can do more. Reach out to them more. More visits. More meetings. More trusting the Lord for them. More prayers offered to God on their behalf. More. More for them. That guy that did not want to listen to you that day, that guy that mocked you when you preached, now becomes an ardent follower of Jesus Christ. That will be by your commitment. It won't just happen. It will be as a result of your commitment. Your commitment. Amen? Your commitment. I've seen a few relationships, just using this as an example, that we're going to fall apart. Say, let's just end this. And someone committed himself or herself to resolving the issues. And today they are married and they are fine. Amen? Commitment. Commitment. Yes, that guy does not want to listen. Yes, that guy, whatever. But it is possible that if I commit myself, if I make myself available, if I do more praying for him, teaching him, I will raise another disciple for the Lord. Amen? commit yourself.
Glory to God.
I wrote here in my note, take time to pray and give thanks for 2023. Or take time to give thanks for 2023 and take time to pray for 2024. We'll spend some time to pray. We'll spend some time to pray. I'll be done in a few minutes. We'll take time. We'll pray. We'll just trust the Lord. Amen. We'll trust the Lord. Commit the year into the Lord's hands. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Those who put their trust in God are never put to shame. You can never be ashamed. Amen? So we can trust the Lord for 2024. Trust God for every year. Trust the Lord for our health. Trust the Lord for our finances. Amen. Trust the Lord for ourselves as an assembly. Trust God. Trust. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So those six things, see them as your commitments. 2024. Your commitments. And in 2024, train your hearing more. I mentioned that to you on Wednesday. Train your hearing more. Isaiah 54 and 5. The Lord God has given you the tongue of men that shall know how to speak a word is seen to him that is weary. He wakened morning by morning, wakened my ear to hear as a learner. The Lord God had opened my ear, I was not rebellious, neither turned the way back. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to run. Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of the heart, for their life unto those that find them. Health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Train your hearing. Train it. Ensure that you become better when it comes to hearing God's word. If you are the type that it's always, I thought, this is what was it, I thought, get better. Grow up in that area. Train your hearing.